We've been talking over the past several weeks about knowing why we believe what we believe. We just sang that song. We sang, I think, last week also, I am all He says I am. And the question is, what does He say I am? And if I know what He says I am, then I can believe that. We need to know why we believe what we believe. Now, we've spent 3 weeks talking about Jesus. We've entitled those messages Back to Jesus. We've looked at why do we believe what we believe about Jesus. And we looked at Jesus as a man, and we discovered that the Scripture says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the foundation of everything that we do. But today we're gonna add to what we've been talking about. I want you to know why you believe what you believe. We talked about the Trinity the other day, and we talked about that the Trinity consists of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and we gave you Scripture as to why we believe that rather than just believing it. Today I want to talk about the second, what we call the third member of that Holy Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, this is one of my favorite subjects in all the Bible, because when I became acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit, my life changed. And every time I've had a great encounter with Him, my life has accelerated into a new dimension. So I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The title of the series is I Still Believe, and I still believe in the Holy Spirit. I still believe in the Holy Spirit's power. You see, the Bible talks about coming to a place where people deny, religious people, deny the power of the Holy Spirit. There are people today, and I know none of them are in this room, but there are people out there today who will tell you that the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and all that stuff passed away. And men have tried to rationalize why there is no power, but the truth is there ought to be power in the church. We ought to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Much of the church has replaced the Spirit's power with theology about Him. We want the theology because we want the power. And I want you to know why we believe what we believe. People speak of the Holy Spirit in terms of what He was or what He might can be or different things rather than speaking in terms of Him being the third person of the Trinity with whom we have relationship right now. We need to have a current relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. He is moving. He is speaking. He is doing more than we know, but because people aren't looking for Him, they miss out on His power. One time I had this encounter with Him, and I mean it was maybe the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me in my Christian life. And when I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit, I saw Him in the Spirit, and I realized I had seen Him before. I realized I'd seen Him many times before, but I didn't stop to pay attention to the fact it was Him. Let me tell you something. He is around you right now. He is in you. He's the one who baptized you into Jesus, but He wants to become more and more a part of our daily lives. He is not the Holy Spook. Okay, the King James Bible calls Him the Holy Ghost, and I like that because it messes with people when you say it that way. But He really is the Holy Spirit. All right, He is the Spirit of God, and He comes to do some great things in us and through us and with us. I mean, this. Let me just tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He will come, and He will make you fall in love with Jesus like never before. I mean, with him, because everything he does points to Jesus. I mean, the Bible comes alive. Your relationship with Jesus comes alive. Let me tell you, if you grow stale in your walk with God, it's because you're not being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Scripture says in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll look at that Scripture here in a few minutes. But we got to understand that when things get stale, it's because there's no fellowship with the Spirit of God. See, God wants us to have the love of Jesus. No, what is it? The grace of Jesus, the love of the Father, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an entity who is alive just like you. He is a person, a part of the Godhead that we can fellowship with. What does that mean to fellowship? That means to have communion, to have intimacy with, to have a relationship that is very personal. And we each need to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I tell this to people all the time when I talk about the Holy Spirit. What one is full of replaces what one was full of. Okay? What you are full of, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, that will replace being full of the world. Okay, and now there's different kind of power in that type of thing. But if we take anything and we say, well, you know, if I were to drink all of my coffee out of my cup here, and if I said, well, what I want to do now is get all the air out of this cup, how would I go about doing that? Well, we could try to create a vacuum in the cup, but if we did, it would crush it. It's got to have something. If I want to replace the air, I've got to do something else. The only thing I can do then to get that out is to put something else in there. If I fill my cup up with coffee, it'll replace the air. It drives the air out as I fill it up with coffee. So if I want to drive a lot of the junk out of my life, I got to fill my life up with what's right. Okay, and that would be with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want Him to come and fill me up. All right, it's not enough just to try to get rid of the sin. The Scripture talks a lot about putting on the new man and putting off the old. You can't just quit sinning. What? No, you got to put something in the place of it. You know, here's how some people try to counsel. You know, well, I've got a problem with drinking. Well, then quit. If you've ever had a problem with anything and somebody says quit, you know that they don't know what they're talking about. Because if you got a problem with it, if you could quit, you wouldn't be saying I got a problem with it. So what you have to do is you have to fill up that with something else. So we're going to talk about having success in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to fill that up. We've got to replace the longing for alcohol or lust or whatever with something else. Now listen to this. We got to learn how to be filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God at the same time. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 22, verse 29. You know, turn to this one. I'll just read this one to you. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. You are messed up, he said, because you don't know what the Bible says and you don't know the power of the Holy Ghost. Many Christians know one or the other, but we need to know both of those things. We need to have the power of God and we need to have the Word of God. I read, this is a long time ago, I read you know, we used to live in Kentucky, and they're looking for news in Kentucky sometimes. And this little town that was close to us, Glasgow, Kentucky, in their paper, it said this. It says, Leslie Puckett, after struggling to start his car, lifted the hood and discovered that someone had stolen the motor. That was big news in Glasgow. Someone had stolen the motor. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I think that much of the church, if we lifted the hood, we'd find somebody stole the motor. Because she's not going anywhere. She's been staying in the same place for a long, long time. The devil has done a great job of stealing the power. We've tried to replace the power with actions of power, or act like we have power. Okay? Instead of receiving the power, we'll raise our hands. Listen, just because we raise our hands doesn't mean we have the power. Amen. Just because we dance a little doesn't mean that we have the power. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you. He wants to fill you, empower you, so that you can be free in your life. But listen, that's not the end of this deal. It's so that you can have power to lead other people into freedom. Christianity has become about me getting my stuff rather than about me surrendering to Jesus, receiving His power, fulfilling His commission on my life so that Jesus will be glorified. I want the power of the Holy Spirit not to get my $1 million, but to get God what He put me on this planet to get for Him. I think about the story where Jesus said, "Go get me the donkey." Listen, if those guys didn't get it, He wasn't going to ride on it. But they got it. We're only going to be able to get the donkeys for Jesus if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all know some donkeys that need Jesus really bad. So we need the power of the Holy Ghost. If our Christian life isn't running right, it's time we check under the hood and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's look at a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. I really like, this is one of my favorite subjects, so I already know that I may not get as far as I want to get today with this, what I'm going to teach you. You already learned something? This is more than just a sermon. We're going to learn something this morning. And for those of you who've been around me for a long time, you've heard this a bunch of times, but it's good to get it again. Amen. I know that when I get a chance to watch the episode of Andy Griffith where Barney and Gomer go in the haunted house to look for the baseball. Anybody ever seen this one? It is my favorite episode of Andy Griffith, and I watch it every time I can watch it. Okay, it's new to me every time. That's what this subject is to me. It's new every time I get to study it and think about the baptism and the Holy Spirit and the work of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 9, look what this says. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan." Now, here's how the King James says, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." Now, that sounds real sweet, doesn't it? Jesus, you know, comes down to the water and John gets him and baptizes him, and this little dove floats down and lands on Jesus. Isn't that sweet? Let me read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, "And in those days came Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And he came up out of the water, and at once he, John, saw the heavens torn open and the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down to enter into him." This is a little bit different here. It says literally in the Greek language, it'll bear this out, that the Holy Spirit tore heaven open to get to Jesus. The Holy Spirit wasn't just, "Oh, maybe we'll get there." Now, the Holy Spirit wants to operate on planet Earth. All He needs is somebody to give Him permission to move through. Well, can He do whatever He wants to? No, He can't move in my life without my permission. He can't move through my life without my permission. Can I just say something? The Holy Spirit will never make you speak in tongues. Never make you get saved. He will move through you if you want to speak in tongues and if you want to get saved. He's not going to make you do anything. In this case, all He was waiting for was for Jesus. Can you just see Him? Him and the Father up in heaven. Now? 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 Jesus comes up and the Father says, "Now." He rips it apart and He comes through because He wants to get to earth. He wants to do what He's doing today. And He knew it started with Jesus. Remember, the Bible says Jesus had the Spirit without measure. Ooh, man. I mean, the Holy Ghost was able to show God off to the maximum through Jesus. All right, so he wanted to do that. The attitude of the Holy Spirit is he wants to come. Now, the Holy Spirit does different to the church than he does to the world. To the world, the Scripture says that in John 16, it says he reproves the world of sin because they don't believe in Jesus. He comes to the world and he does his very best to demonstrate their need for Jesus. But to the church, here's his ministry to the church in John 16, 13. And I'm going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture today. And if you're really fast, you can keep up with me. If not, just write it down. But think about this. This is the ministry to the church. Howbeit, when he, this is Jesus talking, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to guide you into truth. How will he do that? He will speak to you. People say, well, I get nervous when people say they're hearing that God talks to them. I get nervous if God doesn't talk to me. But we got to learn how to hear Him, and we hear Him from the Spirit. We don't hear Him with our natural ears, even though He could do that if He wants to, and people have heard Him. But the Holy Spirit now is the one who wants to guide us into truth. He wants to take us into this place where we have truth. So let's go back over here to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Here, this should be the normal Christian life. This ought to be the way we live all the time. Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus is talking. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, is he saying that every one of us has to go to every country? No. Collectively, we are to go into all the world. Collectively. Now, part of that world is your block. Part of it's my block. Part of it's where you work, where I work. But we're to go into the world and to preach the gospel. That doesn't mean we stand up on something and yell at people. That means that we preach the gospel with our life. I can't remember who said this. They said, wherever you go, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. Okay? Many people think that they've got to say it, and you do have to say it. Don't get me wrong. But you've got to live it before you say it, because if you will live it, now you will have the opportunity to say it. Can I say, if you're a goof off at work, your witness is worthless. Amen, Pastor. That's good stuff. I mean, if you're witnessing to people while you're supposed to be working, you need to be fired. I just stepped on everybody's toes. I mean, I knew a guy one time. He said, I got fired because I was persecuted for being a Christian. I said, really? He said, yes, I was witnessing to God and they let me go. And I said, really? What were you supposed to be doing? Well, the Lord told me to be a witness. And I said, yeah, but what were they hiring you to do? Well, they were hiring me to weld pipe. And I said, and were you at break? No. Were you at lunch? No. Were you supposed to be welding pipe at that moment? Yes. And they fired you? Yes. And I said, I would have fired you too. Okay? Wherever we go, we preach. We preach with our lives. We preach with what we do. I didn't mean to get off on that. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost here. He that believeth and is baptized, verse 16, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Pretty cut and dry, isn't it? And one of these days we're going to talk about hell as we look at this series, because I still believe there's a hell, and I believe it's not a good place to go. And these signs shall follow them that believe. This is what believers do. In my name, they cast out devils. Man, that's what we're supposed to do. In my name, they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Believers are supposed to speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, this doesn't, let me just, from the Greek it says, they shall remove serpents. We don't pick up snakes and play with them. Because if we did, I wouldn't be here. I've got some faith, but I'm not. Why are y'all pointing at him? Is he going to pick up a snake? He plays with them, huh? Well, it's not to prove that he's a Christian, though, I don't think. This isn't talking about taking a rattlesnake and holding it and dancing with it to prove you have faith in God. Because a lot of people have died doing that. It's talking about removing them. Snakes are pictures of the devil. We can remove him. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It's not talking about going out in your garage and getting gasoline and drinking it. It's talking about if someone tries to poison you or kill you along the way. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not done, they can't kill you. As long as you're obedient to him, he's going to help you out. That's what it's talking about. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is what believers are supposed to be doing. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And we look at this very carefully. The word them in verse 20 is in italics, so it's not in the Greek language. So it literally says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. How did he do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit, as they preached the word, the Spirit of God got on the word of God and produced that. All right? I mean, that is awesome. So let's go back here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to see this morning. I don't want to bore you, but I'm going to give you lots of scripture because I want to. Why do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Why would we do this? Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Now, what I'm getting ready to read to you, according to this passage, are the foundational or principal doctrines of the church. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. Now the Bible says, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews, these are the foundational doctrines of the church. Repentance, faith, baptisms. Notice the words plural. Baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are the foundational doctrines that every Christian ought to know about. But it says one of them is the doctrine of baptisms. If there's a doctrine of baptisms, that means there's more than one baptism. Is that right? So we need to know. Every Christian ought to know there are baptisms. What are those baptisms? Most of the church is convinced that there's only one type of baptism, and it's the baptism that brings you into Christianity. And yet they disagree on how that should be done. Right? I mean, some people will sprinkle you. Some people will dunk you. Some people will sprinkle you when you're just a baby. Thank God they don't dunk them when they're babies, because that would be kind of mean to take a baby and jam them under the water. But they do different things, and they think that's the baptism that you need. But the Bible says there are different types of baptisms. That water baptism that we've been talking about, some people say that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Other people say you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if you didn't get it done right, you're out. Okay, some people say if you don't get all the way wet, you can forget it. It didn't take. You got to do it again. Some people say you just got to get sprinkled on the top of your head. And so we'll look at this and let me just say this. There's more than one baptism. All right, Jesus told the church in the book of Acts they needed the second or another baptism, which was called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look in verses 5 and then in verse 8. Jesus says in verse 5, he said, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now this is a different baptism than John's baptism. John baptized them in water, but Jesus is saying you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we know there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some people don't think that that's for today. Some people think that when you get saved, you get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get. Well, we're going to look at that here in just a few minutes, either today or next Sunday. And some people think that they get the baptism in the Holy Ghost when they get baptized with water. But we're just going to look at it. So I'm going to talk about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. What does the word baptism mean? Anybody have an idea what that might mean? No? I'll just tell you. The word baptism comes from the Greek word bapto or baptizo. The Greek word baptizo means to dip, to immerse, submerge. It means to take something or someone from one environment, place them into another environment, therefore taking on the character of the other environment. All right? For example, if any of you have ever bought white gold jewelry, after a while you know your white gold jewelry, if you now just think about it for a minute, white gold, there's no such thing as white gold. If you're going to mine gold out of the ground, what color would it be? Gold. It's yellow, yeah. I mean, there's no, oh, look, we found white gold. No, there's no such thing as that. All right. So if you have white gold jewelry, they put alloy in the metal to make it a whitish color, but it's still yellow. It's still got yellow in it. So what do they do with that jewelry? They take it and they, what the technical thing they do is they rhodium finish it, or they dip it in a solution that electronically attaches rhodium, which is a platinum type material, to that gold, making it that bright white color. All right, so it's bright white, but it has to be dipped to get that done. If you wear your white gold jewelry for several years, it's not white as much anymore. You take it back to the jeweler. Now, if you need to have that done, tell your husband or your wife and go in and get it done. Anyway, you need to take it back in and they polish it and they dip it again. And it's refinished and made bright white again. It's dipped. The word baptizo or bapto means to dip. The same word is used in the New Testament in the Greek language when Jesus says the person who dips the sop with me is the person who's going to betray me. He's talking about Judas sitting beside him. They have the bread. They dunk it in the juice or whatever it is they're eating. Okay, they dunk it in there. Baptizo means to submerge, to dip it in there. It's the same word that's used when Lazarus, Jesus is talking about Lazarus and the rich man, and the rich man says, I want you to send Lazarus and have him dip his finger in water for me. Putting his finger in the water. And when you dip it in there, it comes out wet. Okay, it takes on whatever is in the water. So, the word literally means to dip. When we're talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about getting dipped in the Holy Ghost. That's kind of cool. And so if you ever got dipped in water, you came up different than when you went in. Is that right? All right, I've baptized a lot of people in water over the years, and every single time I've ever baptized them, they come up looking different. If it's a woman, they go down with their hair fixed, they come up and it's not fixed anymore. All right, they go down, their clothes may fit loose, but I'm telling you, when they come up out of the water, they're sticking right to them because the water changes everything about them. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we come up and we're different than we were before. We get dipped in the Holy Ghost. And that's why the Scripture says to be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled, continually getting refilled, continually being filled, because after a while, it wears off and you got to get dipped again. You don't have to speak in tongues for the first time again because you can only speak in tongues for the first time. But you still need that. The church needs power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, after we receive the Holy Spirit, then we would have power. When the Spirit comes upon us, we would have power. Without that power, we're not going to do what He called us to do. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be His witnesses. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means we have the power to stand on the street corner and hand out tracts. No. That means we have the power to tell other people about Jesus. Partially, yes. But the word witness, the Greek word is martus, which means we get the word martyr from. What that means to be a witness for Jesus is to have the power to live or die for Jesus. In everything that we do, our life now becomes one that's not ours. It becomes His, and He's able to flow and move through us and accomplish His will in our lives. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to try to survive all the time. With the power of the Holy Ghost, you don't care because you belong to Him now, and you'll live or die for Him. I mean, see, I found out it's hard to live for Him, isn't it? Because of what people say and because of what people think. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that makes you the witness. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that makes you... I'm going to tell you something. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that enables you to do what you don't want to do so God can be glorified. Amen. It's the power of the Spirit of God on your life. See, Jesus said the church needs power. If we're going to demonstrate to the world that Jesus is alive, we need power. Y'all are sure quiet right now. Listen, you can go to any church in town this morning and get religion. But how many times can you go to church and find out that Jesus is alive? Well, I think we just narrowed the field. We want Jesus to be clearly manifested to be alive. And as we read last week, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that Jesus, if He's alive, will do exactly what He did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We read that Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit tore heaven apart, got on Him. Well, the church needs the Holy Spirit to get on us just like He got on Jesus. We need power. We ought to be full of power. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Don't look this one up. I'll read it to you. Not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by our physical might, it's not by our physical power, but by the Spirit's power that it's going to be accomplished. In that particular passage, there's a picture of a lampstand and the oil continually flowing into that lamp to keep it burning and to keep it empowered. The oil is the picture of the Holy Spirit, which is what we have to say, what we have to have. All right, we will accomplish the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, let me look at two passages here, just for our benefit for a minute. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this is that passage I've been talking about for some time. Verse 18, look what it says. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I've already said, he's comparing being filled with the Spirit to being filled with wine. And he's talking about, if you want to stay drunk with wine, you got to keep drinking wine. If you want to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you got baptized in the Holy Spirit a year ago, 6 months ago, last week. If you did, that's awesome, but you still need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. You still need to keep filling up on the Holy Ghost. You still need to do that. And He tells you, He gives you an example of how to do that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's how you stay full of the Holy Spirit. You talk to yourself. This self-talk is vital. I am all He says I am. I am everything He says I am. I talk to myself. Man, when I'm facing this thing I don't want to do, I remind Him I'm not my boss. He is. I remind Him that He said, a faithful man is hard to find, but He will abound with blessings. I remind Him that I will do anything for Him. See, because I lived long enough for myself, and it didn't work out very well. I live for You now, Jesus. I give myself this talk, and I talk in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in my heart to the Lord. You know what that means? Make myself get happy. Oh, I just give You thanks, Jesus. I give You thanks. I worship You. I acknowledge You. Now, he's talking about how to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read you another passage of Scripture that's kind of interesting. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The Amplified says, like an umpire, let it call the shots. To the which you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by Him. That's something. It just now said to stay filled with the Holy Ghost, you do those things. And now it says if you get filled with the Word, you'll do those things. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are inseparable. If we recognize what the Scripture says, we are to be filled with the Word and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough just to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be filled with the Word. What I've noticed over the years, I mean, I've been saved for a long time. What I've noticed over the years is some churches, they emphasize the Holy Spirit and not the Word of God. Some emphasize the Word of God and not the Holy Spirit. We need both of them. There's got to be a balance in what we're doing here. Electricity is deadly unless you find the channel for it to flow through properly. And once you find the right channel, it's beneficial and does what it's supposed to do. There's this power of the Holy Spirit. Man, we need to be filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to be speaking in tongues. We need to be worshiping God. But we need the balance of the Word too. I don't want you to get filled with the Spirit today just to speak in tongues. I want you to know what the Bible says about it. So we told you to get those little red books last week if you need to be Spirit-filled. We got to have that. Over the years, we found out that people get filled with the Spirit sometimes and they neglect the discipline of the Bible. Well, I'm just flowing with the Holy Ghost. Well, He flows with the Bible. I'm amazed at it. Listen, you can get filled with the Spirit and it'll take you a long way. But you also have to get rooted in the Word of God so that you don't become a weirdo. We used to know this guy years ago in Kentucky, and you'd be talking to him, and he'd be sitting like a normal person. He'd sit with you. All of a sudden, he'd go, "Hum!" He'd say, "Oh, I just got," how do you say it? "I just got touched by the Spirit." I don't remember what he said. He'd go, he'd be talking, "Hum!" And it's like, you flake? That happens sometimes, perhaps. And the Lord will knock you down if He wants to. But you know what? You don't have to be. He's not going to make you be a weirdo. There are times. Man, the Lord will touch you. But listen, the Bible talks about things being done decently and in order. You know, he knocked Paul to the ground on the road to Damascus, and he got his attention and it changed his whole life. But it didn't say he knocked Paul to the ground every 10 minutes after that for the rest of his life. Because Paul had to be a tent maker part of that time, and you can't be building tents and poof all the time. Okay? Yeah, and you know, and I understand, man, sometimes you're talking and the presence of the Holy Spirit will come on you, and that's awesome. But listen, God didn't fill you with the Holy Spirit to make you into a weirdo. He filled you with the Holy Spirit to make you into His witness. All right, we found out over the years that sometimes people get filled with the Spirit and they don't get in the Word. If you just have the Word, it makes you mean. I mean, I've met some people. They know the Bible, but they're mean. I mean, the Bible says, like it's a rock they're getting ready to throw at you. Or some people get filled with the Holy Spirit and don't get the Word. And I mean, they're just weird. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord, He told me to not have to pay for my lunch today. So I'm just going to sit here in the restaurant until someone comes and pays for my lunch. Well, the server's thinking, if you'd get up, we could use this table again. And if they don't come after about 10 minutes, you might want to hope you had the money when you got in there, because what if you missed it? I'm not saying if the Spirit told you to go and do it, you don't do it, but I'm just saying people do weird stuff, all right, and it becomes about them. All right, so we read that Jesus said you got to have both of them. We got to have both of them. So now, let me just get back to my subject here about the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God come alive. That's why we want that. The Holy Spirit will make the Word come alive. I remember one time, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the next time I read the Bible, it's like it was written to me. Before that, it was like it was written to the preacher. And he knew what it said, and he could explain what it said, but I had no clue what it was saying. I mean, I knew that Jesus died for my sins. I knew that Jesus rose from the dead. I knew that I had received Jesus as my Savior. I knew that if I died, I was going to go to heaven. But I didn't know the book was written to me. And then all of a sudden, I got filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I looked at the Bible, and I mean the words were alive to me. I mean, they were coming off the page, and they were coming into me, and it was changing me because the Holy Spirit was on there. You know, that still happens to me. I've been reading the Bible every day in my life for many, many years. And most mornings when I'm reading something in the Scripture, it tugs at my heart and tears come to my eyes because God is talking to me. And I recognize it's Him and this was written to me. I know that's because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. He's making the Word come alive to me. Jesus, man, He wants us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? What does that even mean? Well, let's talk about this. First of all, John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That's one of Ken's favorite sayings. He says, "We're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire." He gets it from that passage of Scripture. Now notice what the Scripture says here. John said, you know what? I'm going to baptize you in some water. But one is coming after me. He said, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. But he, who's he? Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So who is the baptizer? Jesus. That's what you were going to say, right? Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, you got the preacher, and if you haven't been water baptized, we'll talk about that later. But who baptized you in the water? The preacher or someone dunked you, a man, a person, dunked you in the water and yanked you out. When you got saved, though, the Holy Spirit came and He baptized you into the body of Christ. So you got baptized in water, baptized into Jesus, and now Jesus personally comes and baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning and you need that and we pray for you and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you begin to pray in other tongues, I'm going to tell you something. That means that Jesus comes in our room because Jesus is the only one who can baptize anybody in the Holy Spirit. And it is an awesome thing to know that He is the baptizer. The phrase baptism in the Holy Spirit is mentioned 7 times in the New Testament. That's interesting, because 7 just happens to be the number of the Holy Spirit. 7 times talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by Joel in the Old Testament, talking about all flesh. The Spirit of God would come upon all flesh. Baptized, it was prophesied by John the Baptist, prophesied by Jesus in Acts chapter 5. We know that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. God the Father promised us that we would have power. Jesus said it's an endowment with power. The word endued means to go down into or sink down into as in a garment. He said you'll get the Holy Ghost put on you when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think this is one of the funnest things to ever know about. Holy Spirit, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we go down into Him. and we come up with Him dripping off of us. And there should be a demonstration of His power. We get immersed into Him. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest things that could ever happen in your life. Now, let me just tell you, in my life, I was a not very good Baptist. I've told you this many times. I was mostly a North American heathen boy. I got saved when I was little. I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I didn't ever live a dirty, rotten, no good sinner life out there. But I wasn't really in love with God. I wanted God. I was curious about the things of God. I went to church for the most part, but I was pretty much heathen. You know, I didn't know a lot about God and didn't know a lot about the Word. But all of a sudden, one time, and I've told you this before, I went to a meeting where this lady was the preacher, and I mean, I saw miracles happen for the very first time in my life. And all of a sudden, this switch inside of me got turned on. And I realized there was more to God than I had ever known before. And I realized there was power. Power. The thing I recognized was God's love, even though I didn't know anything about it. And I realized that this power was connected to love. I realized that the reason I couldn't live a successful life is because I didn't have any power in my life. So I began to hang out more with these couple of friends of mine that were Spirit-filled guys. And as I hung out with them, I found out they were praying in another language, which was freaking me out. We didn't use the phrase freaking out in those days, but we used blowing my mind, I think, is what we talked about. I mean, they would pray in tongues. But this is what I noticed about them. They loved Jesus. I mean, all they could talk about was Jesus. They couldn't talk about anything but Him. They loved Him. And they talked about Jesus like they knew Him. They weren't waiting to go to heaven to talk with Jesus. They knew Him right now. And man, I got so hungry for that Jesus. And they talked about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They talked about it, and I decided that's what I wanted more than anything in this world. I didn't necessarily want to talk in tongues. I wanted to know Jesus the way they did. That's all I wanted, was Jesus. And so finally this guy says to me, he says, "Hey, why don't you come to this Bible study tonight?" I said, "Okay, who's going to be there?" He told me. Everybody that's going to be there were kids that were my age. I was 18 at the time. I said, "Okay, I'll come." And they sang these songs, and I know I've shared this before, many of you heard it, but they sang this one song. Well, the song was called "He Done What He Said He Would Do." And they were talking about these things that He had done what He said He would do, said He would forgive my sins. He done what He said He would do. He said He would, I don't know. They had all these verses. But one verse in particular, this guy said, he said He would give me some tongues. He done what He said He would do. Then they stopped. And they all just started praying in tongues. Well, by this time, I had rededicated my life to the Lord. If you're a Baptist, you know exactly what that means. Because many of you, I rededicated my life so many times, my rededicator was pretty much worn out. But they said that. I knew I didn't have that. And I wanted to know Jesus. I was saved. I wanted Jesus. So they sang that, and when they sang it, I thought I was going to blow up. Because I knew He hadn't done that in me. I didn't have that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So they got through singing. They had some Bible lesson. I don't remember who even taught the Bible. There was somebody's parents were there, and I don't remember if they taught it or one of the kids did it. I can't remember what happened. But then they said, "Okay, we're going to put the chair in the middle of the room like we do every Sunday morning. We're going to put the chair in the middle of the room." They said, "If you need something, get in the chair." And I jumped in that chair, man. I jumped in there, and they said, "Okay, praise God. Put your hands together." And I said, "What?" And they said, "Put your hands together." I said, "Okay." Put my hands together. And they said, "Ooh, my arms are like this." They said, "One of your arms is shorter than the other. Glory to God." And they started praying. They're praying in tongues. And I felt this warm sensation in my elbow. And my arm went out. And I thought, "Wow, that's cool. But that ain't what I want." "Oh, okay. Put your feet together." We did the same ordeal with my feet. And they said, okay, you're done. I said, no, I'm not done. I said, I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they said, oh, we thought you already had that. I said, no, see, they just needed to ask what I wanted, but they did anyway. They said, oh, that's easy. They said, have you ever played with the Ouija board? I said, yeah. They said, renounce that right quick. Okay. I renounced the Ouija board. In Jesus' name, I renounce it. I said, okay, now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if anyone asks their earthly father for a fish, he won't give him a snake. And it says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I said, okay. They said, so just ask him. I said, okay. I said, Heavenly Father, I ask you for the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And they said, do you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe it. They laid their hands on me. They're all praying in tongues. I said, okay. They said, okay, pray in tongues. They might as well have said, fly around the room. Because I had no idea what they were talking about. I said, I don't know what you're saying. I found out that night that the Holy Spirit will never make anybody pray in tongues. I kept thinking I was going to have to go into a trance, you know. You know, and wake up 2 or 3 hours later, and then, you know, and then it's, oh, you prayed in tongues. But I noticed they weren't in a trance. They were just praying over me, and they were praying in tongues. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. They said, just pray in tongues. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. They said, well, just say praise the Lord over and over. Okay. So I said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Raise your hands and say praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, somewhere in the process, I must have said something different than praise the Lord or hallelujah. Apparently, I uttered a syllable that wasn't in those words. And, you know, I must have said, praise the Lord, Google. And they said, that's it, you did it! I did. Yeah, you got it, man. You got it. Go in this back room until you get it all the way. Okay. So I went in the back room. I'm just going, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, the whole time, there were these weird words, like they were way in the back somewhere, and I heard them on the inside of me, but I didn't understand them, and there was a voice coming outside of me saying, you're making those up. So I just kept saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, this other guy got in the chair, and he went through the same process, and they sent him back with me, and we're both kind of looking at each other going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden, nobody told me to do this, but I said those words out loud. See, because the Holy Spirit won't speak for me, I have to use my voice and my mouth, and I said those words. I said, I don't know what they were exactly, but it was like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. My eyes probably got huge, and I just began to, and that guy looks at me and he did the same thing back to me. And we were both gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit. That night changed my life. I fell in love with Jesus. I mean, I got to tell you, I love him. Someone told me, well, it'll wear off. It never did. Because I fell in love with Jesus. And there are many of you in this room who could tell similar stories to that. But we're talking about this thing Jesus talked about. You will receive power. Not before, after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you.